Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Sometimes you thought you heard something, but you did not really hear it. It's when you now, I listened to a message about 100 times, and then I was in the car and I was listening to it again, and I realized there was something I didn't hear. Can you imagine? You contact, I will come back if I cannot today, and talk to you about the dangerous transfer of spirits. So remind me. If you don't remind me, I move to the next bus stop. But I will tell you one of the ways you can transfer spirits. So, I give an example. You see, when you go on Instagram or TikTok, somebody said, and don't quote me, because the sons of Belial are everywhere now. The person said it's only useless people that are on TikTok. I see all those stars, not you that open account, like those people. When you, if you see somebody, let me just allow my vanity not, let me not allow their vanity to affect me. But when you see them doing those things they do, and you want to say, vanity upon vanity, all is vanity, they will come after you and fight you. They don't want you. You are not supposed to be. You come to my wall. Which wall? Is it not somebody that built the website? Who told this your space? I will shut you down now. My uncle is the owner of Facebook. You know what I'm saying? So if you go to all those TikTok and whatever, and you see people doing a particular thing on these reels, there's something they call reels there, on these reels, then after some time, you now notice the thing is creeping into the church. I don't know if you've seen it. You now notice that somebody is redefining culture. All of a sudden, everybody is dressing a particular way. People are looking a particular way. And they are even going as far as saying that once you are doing it for God, it doesn't matter. Well, I'm not God, but I beg to differ. What I'm trying to tell you here is that when you go to that reels, or I'm not marketing them, or whatever they do on TikTok, it is a gateway of the spirit realm, but it's an illegal gateway. That's where you see all the rubbish going on. That's where you will see that how you can, sir, post a short video of that will bless people, and they will not allow the thing to go far. You think it's by error that you are not seeing 25,000 likes if I post something? They don't want me to be there. Even when you see a popular pastor in Nigeria that goes online and is doing a particular post, have you seen any pastor that did a live video or posted his elbow? You know, somebody can just snap his elbow and post it. It doesn't make sense. But you will just see 25,000 care. 25,000 shares. And 5.2 million comments. What are they? It's just elbow. What are you looking at? Maybe he now has a tattoo, a small tattoo. It doesn't make sense. But he's there. But simply because he's that boy. That boy. You understand? That one, maybe he won a Grammy or something happened to him, you know. Or he sang a song. Always my something. But you know, people just, you know, it's amazing. Then you are here today, God is going to bless you. Even your own people will just bypass. And then Insta people will say, can you see? It's a gateway. It's not you. It's the system. Anything built on a system cannot easily be bypassed. Oh. anything built on a system, you will need to have serious firepower, a level of intelligence that is above that firewall to bypass that thing. Because the moment you come, it will first bounce you back. And that is why prayer can be likened to trying to open a very big door that is locked without a key, and they will not let you pass. So you need not just a small hammer, you need a big hammer, like the hammer of Thor. You understand? It's like, or if you don't have hammer of Thor, you can buy the one at the market there, but let it be big. Then you come to the door, and when you know, this is a door of opposition. The Bible says a great and effectual door has been revealed, but there are many enemies. It's not that the door is not open, but they will not let you pass. There are gatekeepers. There are what? Gatekeepers. Not to know this is to do yourself harm. You don't come into the place of prayer carelessly. That's why I told you that prayer is a spiritually coordinated spiritual activity. Come on now. You don't come, there are some prayers you try to, you don't come in carelessly. That's why Jesus even said there are some things you cannot do if there's food in your stomach. Now, before you start some things, you must first remove pleasure. The pleasure of the flesh, the desire of the flesh. That food may not just be normal food. It may be anything you like. Like watching The Red Dragon on Netflix. Nine-tailed dragon. Jupiter something. You just, and it makes perfect sense because you are actually on vacation. How many of you know what it means? So I just say, I want to rest for the next 3 days. And it is that night, God said, my son, pray. See, what should I pray? Say, just start praying. He's just trying to put you at alert. So when you have that kind of door, you bring your hammer, bah! There's an impact, but the door is still standing. Because what is making that door to stand there as an opposition is because the door has been fortified. When you go into the bank and you go into the vault, you know, there's a way the thing is. And that's why while I was there, I and my boss were not allowed to be together outside the office space for security reasons. I remember the first time they gave me combinations and told me to do it. I sweated like this. I was sweating, and my boss said, you will do it or die. He didn't even look at me and say, oh, he's just fresh. He's a freshman from the university. He doesn't understand the ways of the kingdom. He just wrote it on the floor, on the paper, gave it to me, said, look at it. Say, look at it. Give me a paper there. Give me a sheet of paper. You know, it's a series of codes, and there are several doors like that, different codes. And me, I'm just fresh. Happy that I even have work. Just tear anyone, any small one. So this is what he did. So Gwenga, these are the combinations. This for this door, this for the other door, and the other door. So look at it. Say, do you see it now? Say yes, do you see it? Look at it again. Say, go and open it. The security of that, whatever is behind that door, is so much, is so heavy. We cannot allow that information to be on paper. It must enter this head. Open it or die. At some point, give me this chair. When I couldn't open it, then I went to bring chair for me. Say, sit down. 20, 5 times to the left, 40. It's still in my head though. Somehow, I won't tell you which bank. I said, but I did it now. He said, if you did it, the door will open. If you apply the right spiritual protocol in prayer, that door will open. You didn't do it well. You got distracted. You have a series of, for instance, 7 series of codes that you must apply with a certain particular number, and the next one differs from the next number, and the direction, whether left or right, is also different. And if you just remember your wife, your wife told you something, you will miss that calculation. Prayer is exactly like that. You don't come to the place of prayer trying to determine what will happen there. The parameters have been set in the spirit. If the spirits that are guiding that door that you want to take are powerful spirits that are very rebellious, if you have rebellion in your life, you cannot deal with them. Do you know what could have happened to Jesus when his mother rebuked him and said, "Do you not know that we have been searching for you?" And he said to the mama, "Do you not know that I must what? Be about my father." Was he lying? Was he wrong? In fact, do you think Jesus did anything wrong? So, was the mother's rebuke wrong? No. Now, you say you hear God. May I not hear God? So, may I tell you what I know? Please. That experience was both a revelation and a warning to us. That scripture, that incident, was both a revelation to us, that is, we can teach around it, and also what? A warning. The scripture said after that incident, Jesus went back and submitted to his parents. That means God didn't fault his mother. So, do you know what it means to submit to his parents? As they were getting home, go and watch those plays for me. Ah, then somebody waved to him. Won't go play ball, oh. I know if he come out. Are you done? You are taking too much time. The mother did not say, because she was the one that angel appeared to and told her, "Hey, Makataya Makaya, I'm from the presence of the Almighty God. I bring you a word of prophecy. Oh, be it unto me." That one don't pass, oh. That one don't pass. This one I walk. I will not raise an irresponsible son. If you go fulfill ministry, you go fulfill this one first. Come on, are you listening to me? If Jesus had not submitted to his parents, that would have become a firewall around his ministry. He would have had problems with certain kinds of demons, because there are certain demonic operations. If you have rebellion in you, they will not listen. The moment you say, "In the name of Jesus," they are scanning you. When they see that there's nothing that is in their department that you have, they are not looking for any money and it's in your pocket, and they give you away. Please understand some of these technicalities. That is why when we come to the place of prayer, there's a rule which is called the rule of repentance. Come on, are you still here? The rule of what? Repentance. It doesn't mean you are a perpetual sinner. It means you put yourself in a state where God's word can scan you. In case there might be an evil way in you that is still a root. It's not growing yet, but it's a root. But it's there. The thing with a root is when you go to the farm and you see a root, you don't bother about it, you just move on. It's not growing. Do you understand? It's not growing, but it's there. Roots are very dangerous. The Bible talks about the root of bitterness. God didn't call it a plant. He said a root. Do you know how many Christians have justification for their bitterness? They actually have justification, no? They actually will tell you from Bible why they are angry. They will even tell you, "I'm not angry with her, but she should stay in her lane." What is that? Say, "No, see. I'm a realistic person." It's only when you want to be bitter that you choose to be realistic. Your mom hurt you? See, You cannot control what people do. You can only control your own reaction. So I'm telling you that sometimes in the process of trying to deal with a particular firewall, something that is not allowing you go past a level, you will have to hit consistently. Hit consistently. And I want you to imagine there's an imaginary door in front of me. You keep hitting. Because as you are hitting, initially the door is bouncing you off. Then all of a sudden that door begins to show sign of strain. Then you begin to see cracks. Begin to see cracks. That is where many of us give up. Putting pressure, learning how to put pressure in the spirit. Have you watched wrestling before where they just hold your neck? May I think that that's not an issue. You hold my neck. Like, it's better than throwing me from the top down. Just hold my neck. Eh? You understand? Let's be here. But I noticed that when they hold somebody's neck, you now say, I beg, no fight again. No, but when they threw you down from the top of the ring, you didn't give up. Somebody held your neck. After like 1 second, you did like that. I beg, this guy is a son of Belial. He will come and keep. I beg, no fight. It's not my first to win. We'll fight another day. They pin you there. And he will do like, he will say, what are you squeezing your face for? It was later I realized that when they hold your neck like that, you are close to death. You won't know. There's one police officer in the U.S. now that they are still talking about his matter. Learn how to put pressure in the spirit. Putting pressure requires inner strength and time. Have you ever hit a door and you knew that the door was stronger than you? Do you know that feeling? You try to push something, then the thing was the one pushing you back. It requires strength, inner strength. And what does the scripture say? Say, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Do not be strong outside the Lord. Are you hearing this, Lord? When you get to that point, and you know you are weak, it is because you are no more connected to the mainframe. You know, I heard that people in Ikorodu, they have regular power supply in some parts, more than other parts of Lagos. But they say, I think, is it a thermal station or something there? So they always have light. Many of them don't even use generators. It's the same Nigeria. Be strong in the Lord means, please come, when you are faced with unanswered questions and the need for direction in your life, and you look left, right, and center, it seems that every time you try to take a step, you are losing energy. You run to the rock that is higher than you. To be strong in the Lord is to run back to your core. You run inside so that there is none of you that is seen on the outside. You run back and you are connected to the mainframe. You are supercharged by the mainframe. You draw your knowledge from the mainframe. There's this supercomputer that allows you to do everything you need to do without losing any form of energy. It's just like using your laptop and it's connected to power supply. It doesn't feel the strain. It can continue like that for the next 3 days. In fact, sometimes when they now see that you sleep off, the thing will now restart with update for you because you refuse to shut it down. It will restart you by force. What many of us did was that we got charged, then we disconnected, stepped away, and we faced the door. And then with each major hit, it was not only the door that was weakening, we were also weakening because we were discharging. And that's why sometimes you have some of these WhatsApp chats And after you realize you are weak, hey, who knows what I'm saying? Have you ever had a WhatsApp chat and start asking for forgiveness? There are many new gateways that Satan exploits. They are not the traditional gateways, but he routes the traditional. It's just like converting a pure software program into a user-friendly model that anybody can use. So he uses some of these online platforms, WhatsApp, films, music, and then all of a sudden you begin to wonder why your lust level. Before you say forgive me, God is more interested in how we got here. So we need to identify what are those things that puts a pressure, a lot of pressure on the battery life. Many of these things you cannot know them, sir, until you come to the place of prayer and the place of surrender. Because at the place of prayer, the word of the Lord and the spirit of intercession, they come together. That is why when you pray, many times you'll be having some of these impressions in your heart. They will be coming. They are heavenly communications. Thank you, sir. They are heavenly communications bouncing off the resistance that has been built in your heart by the enemy. That resistance that makes you feel entitled. So you see that prayer is not really about your request. It's not really about your request. There are things that God will first address to purify the vessel so that when we send electricity through it, even that vessel will not be consumed. And one of the ways we achieve that is by learning to sit for hours under the word of God. Actually, you cannot pray effectively if you are not a student of the word. Actually. And if you know so much of the Bible that you don't have to pray, you knew something else. I've been to a prayer meeting before, and we ended up sharing revelations. Or the person that was supposed to lead us to pray. And then after like 2 hours, now I said, let's just thank God, let's magnify him. I said, sorry, is this a prayer meeting or a word meeting? Say it's a prayer meeting, we're still coming tomorrow. See, that's the way the Holy Spirit wanted. I say it's a lie. That's not the way the Holy Spirit wanted the meeting to go. You are undisciplined. You are not a disciplined person. You only made up for your spiritual arrogance. It's a prayer meeting. Pray. It's so much easier to talk than to pray. Even though it's the same mouth that is working. You can find 20 people in Bible study unit. Go and check the prayer team. Mostly it's women. Mostly it's young ladies. But it is not even unconnected with the way God made them. Actually. It's just like asking why you have so many women in the choir. Women are dance. It's the same spelling. A woman hears a good music, she dances. It's not because it's a sin or not. That's their nature. Men in the bid of trying to be logical. We now have a door that has defied science. It has defied spiritual science. We are now trying to hit it. But you see, the thing about lifting materials that are heavier than your muscles is that you would have been lifting things before that day. It's not the day that they bring you. Do you know that eventually I will stand in front of a bulletproof door? Quack, 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 quack. Pew, pew. But, there was a day I did it just before I left the bank. And the thing was not, and I had auditors around. They say, you mean you can't open your own vault? I said, what do you mean? I open and lock it every day. Well, I said, it's because you are here that this door is not opening. I said, this door has a problem. They say, which kind of excuse? I said, this is my door. This is my door. I open and lock it at will. I am a master of this realm. Because I have tested it. I've sat with this realm for 4 years. If it doesn't answer, we know there's a power short circuit somewhere. The wires have been disconnected. Who came to this altar? Who came here while I was not here? There is an atmosphere that should be around the places where you pray. If somebody with a strange fire comes, you should. That's how we come to this and say, how many people came here today? Because we can sense people have come with their own aura. You don't know those things if you are watching Netflix. So you know it when you've carried out systematic control activity in a particular area over a period of time. An atmosphere will be created there. The day something alternate to that thing comes, it will react. That atmosphere will react and tell you something. Somebody came here. It's not by, I was coming, God told me. You've done something here consistently. That's why you will see some people, no matter how terrible the attack is, they'll say, take me to my house. Some will tell you, take me to my prayer room. If you are rich enough, you have a room for prayer or meditation. Say, take me there. Let me see the devil that will go there. Because you've offered sacrifices. The sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. You've laid on that floor for hours. For days. Sometimes praying and not even knowing what is keeping you there. Prayer is a spiritually controlled systematic activity. A fleshly man cannot pray well. So you see, the devil doesn't really need to fight your prayer life. He only needs to engage you with work and time. And if you are still stubborn, you will let your husband start stressing you. You know, some husbands are very wicked. They want to marry a slave. They are not looking for a wife, they are looking for a slave. And this year, this second half, I'm ready for them. If you are looking, why don't you go and become a professional boxer? Why must she kneel down to greet you? You don't even have money. How many rich men do you know that their wife is kneeling down and greeting them? You have a problem. And your problem is your problem. See, I'm a king in my house. You are not a king. You are just a confused person. How can you be married to a man that brings out the worst in you? You are now using your anointing to refrain from battles. You should be taking territories. But you are now using the fruit of the spirit to manage your husband so that you will not be angry. Why? A man came and he insulted his wife and said she will just be praying. Every small thing, shukulu baba, shukulu baba, shukulu baba. Until he was swindled of 10.2 million naira. Like this. In this COVID, last 2 months, you go, okay, mama, pray. She goes, you just pray. You see her, she has grown old. Me, I want to enjoy the remaining part of my life. Oh. Carry women. Say, this business, this arrangement, until they collected 10 million from his hand. His eye now cleared. It was now the wife trying to call people to settle the problem. The wife that she said has become ugly because she's a prayer warrior. What is it? Shiklo baba, shiklo. What is it? What is that safe? Only God knows what they are saying. Mama turn around, they are deceiving themselves. Shiklo, shiklo. What is that? At your age? Oh my God, you're 70. You're almost 70. Insulting the wife's altar. So God decided to show him example. Lost 10 million. When I heard the money, I said, if you give me this one, I'm going to make deposit. Yeah. I told them to bring the man to me. When he comes, sow seed first. Before I pray for you, sow seed, because you will not hear word. So sow seed. What? Before I pray for it, the man refused to come. But when we are saying receive it by faith, people don't appreciate it. Okay, come on. So, this seed now is for 5 million. I'm not like those people that take money. Me, I'm nice. I take 5 million. Per prayer. People are doing worse things when they go and kneel in front of Satan. But one Baba will just push shock here, push shock here, push shock, push shock. You become afraid. Then you see his teeth very yellow. He say he has been talking to the gods, but really he has not brushed, and he's eating goro. There's one thing they call goro, not the bitter cola, goro. That one, it will color your teeth. It's not ordinary cola, not the real name scientifically is goro. Yes, now that's the original name. Forget that one. You see, if you say cola not, you won't understand that yellow. This thing, you need to see it in your mind. That teeth, that coloration, there's a kind of cola nut. It's not every type. Some make you fine, others color you. Don't be naive. Go and check everyone in the scripture who was a prayerful person. See their life. See how they turned out. Go and check the one that didn't have a prayer life like Samson, that only prayed when he had problem. Go and check. Anything that takes away prayer from you is a direct attack at your doorstep. It's a direct attack. Don't even think about it. Don't imagine that the attack is coming. It has come. And they are trying to weaken your defense by taking away your love for seeking the Lord and prayers. So that when they start hitting you, you will not be able to pray, because you will first of all have to deal with guilty conscience. Let me leave this on. Prayer model one. The prayers that pull down strongholds. It's a prayer model that Jesus gave to us in Matthew. Matthew chapter 12, verse 27 to 29. Matthew chapter 12, from verse 27. He said, in this scripture, this story, they accused Jesus of using Beelzebub, the power of Beelzebub, to do miracles. Are you with me? Now, there was something I didn't used to see until I read this scripture again. He said, if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, this was Jesus responding, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. Next verse. But if truly I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. 29. Or else, a conflict between Beelzebub and the Spirit of God. Please look at this scripture well. How can one enter into a strong man's house? Excuse me, that scripture is in context. We are still talking about Beelzebub. Have you ever seen it that way? Have you ever seen this strong man as Beelzebub? Google Beelzebub. Tell me the meaning. This is a sequence of three verses. Jesus referred to Beelzebub as a strong man. Jesus has all power in heaven and on earth. And he referred to a prince, a demonic prince, as a strong man. He said, how can I enter into the house of a strong man and spoil his good? To spoil his good means to take. It's another name for. Give me an English meaning or something. Not just a name. That word Beelzebub has a meaning. Is it Lord of the Flies or something? Lord of the Flies. Maybe I should write a book and title it Lord of the Flies. Nice name. Catch. I hope you know that flies monkeys, rats, owls. They are demonic representations at different levels. They are like animal symbols for demonic operations. Do you have any other meaning there? Huh? Dung heel, like feces. So this is a prince that operates where there is spiritual uncleanliness. Come on now. Are you with me? This kind of prince is that kind of in Ephesians, Paul talks about principality and power. Principality there from the word principle. If you have flies in your house, there is something they are seeing that is attracting them. If you take away that thing, what happens to the flies? They go away. This particular prince operates where there is a direct violation of the law of God and where there is consistent uncleanliness spiritually. He draws his power. So when you are binding him, you can't be binding yourself. You are the one feeding it. Come on, are we together? Now, go back to the 27th, verse 27. So, when the Pharisees mention Beelzebub, the Lord of Flies, that means in their time, in that day, they knew what Beelzebub was. They were the ones who started the conversation. They mentioned Beelzebub. They knew Beelzebub. They knew Beelzebub operated some level of spiritual, you know, dimensions. They knew. So, but because they could not trace where his authority was coming from, the easiest thing to do, because they used to see Jesus in the club, is to associate him with Beelzebub. Anything you cannot explain, tag it. Just tag them on Facebook. So they tagged him. Hashtag Beelzebub. Jesus hashtag Beelzebub. So Jesus knew who Beelzebub was. It's amazing that the Pharisees also knew who Beelzebub was, but they didn't know who Jesus was. You will know something. You don't want to pray. You will know something. That's why you ask people to share testimony. They will use 15 minutes to tell you what the devil did. You must know something. For every significant territory on earth, there are strongholds there. It's called the point of resistance. The point of what? That if you get to this point, you, whether you like it or not, if you are not wearing our uniform, we will resist you. It's just like turning your rockets towards Hamas and start firing. From here, fire. So if you are someone that believes that your anointing works with your talent, like you can sing, but you despise, did you see it singing as one of the weapons of the spirit? Like in Ephesians, where he said, put on the whole armor of God. Singing is a tool. You understand? To express your military artistry. It's not the singing per se. The singing is just like as I'm preaching now. It's a tool. Say, put on the whole armor of God. Do you know what one of the Hamas guys said? Did you see it online? The guy said, as we were firing our rockets, it was going back into the sky. Who saw it? You saw it. That it was as if their God was fighting and deflecting our missiles. Oh God, I'm talking of rocket too. I didn't say pencil. Rocket. My brother, if you point a rocket at me, even if you didn't fire it, just point it. You know, it's a serious matter. Now, somebody fires a rocket that is targeted at a particular location, and the thing goes to that direction, then goes up and detonates there. It wasn't the Israelis taking that. This was somebody who was giving a testimony to what his own eyes saw, and it was from the other team. Everywhere that is of significance to God and Satan, there will be resistance. God calls it strongholds. That means the place we hold strongly. There's something there. If you pray and preach to somebody and the person is not giving his life to Christ, just know that there is a stronghold that has been mounted there because of the destiny of that person. Come on, are you with me? I said if you preach and pray for somebody and the person is, you are meeting with resistance, just know that there is a stronghold there. And Jesus said, if you do not go in with the intention to capture him and bind him, you won't take over that thing. Because the treasure is after you are bound in, you will see it. Strongholds are built many times in silence, through trickery, when nobody knows. For instance, let me tell you, in the other religion, there's a particular principle that is believed and operated there. But I can't pronounce it in Arabic, so because I don't want to make a mistake. But what the principle says is this: you are permitted to enter into an agreement with an unbeliever if the intention in your heart is to break the agreement and further the cause of Islam. You are permitted to lie. So they are my people and I love them. I'm just reading what they believe to you. So it's there. And there was a particular video where a particular leader in the Saudi area was being interviewed. But you promised the Americans that you will do this and do this. And he just looked straight at the reporter and said, remember, and he used the Arabic word. Remember, let me say, ikrit. For instance, assuming that's the word. And if you are not part of them, you will not know what that man is. He's telling that lady, stop that thing you are doing. This is an interview. Don't go there. Remember Lot's wife. Something like that. So he was telling her, you may not know, you may be doing your job. We are on a mission here. We are not looking at the newspaper. We don't care what the newspaper says. We are here to take every nation, every system for Allah. Simple. Anyhow we do it, it's fair. So that's just an example. You meet with strongholds. Strongholds in people's minds. So how do you break down those kind of strongholds if you are weak in prayer? I notice people who are weak in prayer are also weak in showing love. It gets to a point they can't continue. God gives us a model in this kind of prayer when he says to us that when you meet with resistance, something that ordinarily should not take you 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 days, you are still there. Please circle that zone, that area, as a point of resistance. That means that anything that is strong enough to be resisting you at this point, you need to also change your usual strategy and add something to it. Say to your faith, add. Number two, my time is up. I will come back. 5 more minutes. Okay. Let me also, oh my God, I wish I could talk to you about Saul, Paul, when he went to Ephesus. The scripture said when he was preaching, still on this same point too, when he was preaching, there was this guy, Demetrius, the coppersmith, who raised his fellow men. Because Paul came in and started winning souls, and started leading many people to Christ. And then Demetrius said, look, the verse before, people started bringing out their magical books. And Paul was born in it. The moment that they saw the physical evidence of that conversion, Demetrius called everyone and said, look, this guy is going to get us out of business. So we are going to raise a chant. And that's why those of you who don't understand prophetic worship, you need to see Demetrius. There's something that's called prophetic worship. You can be saying one thing for 3 hours. There's a kind of prophetic worship like that. You can be singing one song 3 hours until the warfare breaks. It's not time. If it breaks, you will know. Are you with me? So the guy gathered the boys, and without people knowing what the quarrel was, we started, hey, great is Diana of Ephesus. Great is Diana of Ephesus. Great is Diana of Ephesus. Great is Diana of... When people heard great is Diana, what they saw was that there is an opposition to our altar. People started gathering. People started, you know, Paul was now in their midst. They'll be pushing. Bring him here. Bring him here. Bring him here. Great is it. And the noise and the echo kept going. Great is Diana of Ephesus. Between that chant, the pressure is just like saying, a Luther continua. The moment you start singing that song in those days, they don't sing it again. It was private school that spoiled all those things. In those days, when you shout, a Luther continua, it's like a spirit will come upon people. Your car must not be there. It will be sweetening you to spoil something. Now, when Paul was later referring to this matter in 1 Corinthians, I think to 1 Corinthians 15, I think. 1 Corinthians 15, 32. Now, look at what... This is a case of dealing with a ruling prince, Diana. Diana mobilized... She realized she was losing the territory, so she mobilized her boys to come after Paul. Since we cannot fight this battle spiritually, give me 1 Corinthians 15, 32. But look at how Paul described the battle later. He said, if after the manner of men, I have fought with what? Beast of Ephesus. These are not physical beasts. What you are seeing going on in your life that you think is the battle, they are the products and reactions of the battle. The real battle itself is a spiritual one. So why they were saying, great is Diana of Ephesus, and they were coming to a great is Diana of Ephesus, and people were thronging him, and they wanted to tear him apart. What Paul was seeing, the spirit was, there are beasts here. Candelada, Remasafada. So when they were pushing, oh my God, Kataka Pataya. Look. I wish I would just stop here. Do you understand that when you take victory in the spirit, that one of the evidence we know is that the matter will escalate and become worse physically. I just said something. You didn't know that one, but I just said it. I said when you take victory in the spirit, when Jesus was at Gethsemane and he went out there and he prayed and he took his prayer team with him. I will stop here. No go rush. I will stop here. This is just one prayer mode. Wednesday. Okay, meet me online Wednesday. When Jesus prayed, he went back. How did Satan fight his prayer warriors? Slumber. They slept. Their eyes were heavy. You know what it means for your eyes to be heavy? The thing will swear. Say, pray. Have you ever prayed with anybody? And you are not hearing his voice. There are some ushers that have mastered the art of sleeping while standing. The sleep of death. Terrible thing. In our former church, it's slumber. You see there, some of them even wear dark shade. This is how they stand in our former church. If you just touch him, it's gone. Some people dance so hard and they sleep during message. They dance so hard, they want to praise God. When the message starts, the sleep is very deep. Inside, just going. Then when peace comes out and say, that is the prayer. They know they even give offering. Those people, then they give offering. They come for the dancing time. After Jesus came back, he woke Peter up and his friends. He said, if you read the account of Luke, Luke only recorded that he went to pray once. It was Matthew that broke it down and told us that he actually went three times. Now, when he came and said, could you not stay with me, tarry with me for 1 hour? That means between the first time and when he came by, it was 1 hour. Say, God. When he came out. For somebody's eyes to be heavy, that means he has really been sleeping. Do you understand? His eyes were swollen. Then he said, Peter, I need you. I will tell you something when I come and talk about the second prayer, which is the corporate prayers and corporate anointing. You will now understand that corporate prayer reduces praying time. Corporate prayer reduces praying time on a particular matter. There are some battles that will not fall if you don't combine effort. Leave that one. If they come, if they agree, I will move it in next one. So you will vote. We want to vote now. APC, PDP. My brother, Jesus went three times. Matthew now told us, sir, after the third time, an angel came and strengthened him. I came with a mandate from heaven to strengthen you for the cross. The angel came. Receive it. And maybe he fell under the anointing. Then he strengthened him again. Eat, for the journey is far. Actually, that strength was the word of the Lord. It was not falling. No, he didn't fall. It is his words that is life indeed. His words are our bread, our spiritual bread. So that angel came with an instruction. He came with a message. Don't worry, Baba said you should go, that he will soon see you again. So he didn't go thinking he will not resurrect. But they also told him it was going to be painful. Just make sure, say you manage when you reach there. Just manage. And don't depend on yourself. Just manage. Just manage. Well, after you die, they will come and carry you. My brother, this is where I'm going. After that strengthening, what I would have expected is that Jesus would have come out. Yelegede bokosaya. Mandabayala. Holy Ghost said, we have gotten the victory. As he was coming back, they arrested him. It escalated. Are you seeing it now? I thought you said the matter has been resolved. We prayed. You gave me a word. This is where many of you began to make God very angry. Because you came out from your prayer room after praying for 3 days. And God said, my son, I have resolved it. God said, I've resolved it. And then you came out and the first thing that welcomed you was opposition. Your friend that could not turn against you. This one, not picking your call. The warfare now rose by degree of 1,000. You say, ah. But is it that I was hearing? No! That's the sign that you have been heard. That's the sign that you have been heard. That God has heard you. You will always see an escalation. Because you are dealing with strongholds. It is not enough to understand spiritual warfare. Interpreting what is playing out is even a more potent weapon. There are people that have dreams. 3 years, they still don't know the meaning. That dream has expired. That level of support has... Hey, I don't know. This one is only Charles that understands. See, let me tell you. When God provides you with a level of support here, that support may be a grace of 3 months to bounce back and enter into your place of, you know, power and influence. If you are careless with that, it may be. And how you will know is that period will be a 3 month of rest. You won't really have issues. Your car won't stress you. You won't have money. People won't be falling sick. But it was a moment of grace given to you to enter into the place of renewal. There's a place that David called in Psalm 23, he restored my soul. That means that your soul can be depleted in the place of warfare. When some challenges are too much, you begin to wear out. He said, he restored my soul. There's a place where God brings you to a place of tranquility. No noise, no issue. For like 1 month, no issue. God is not telling you to sleep. He's telling you to come into a place where he can restore your soul. In the place of fellowship, in the place of prayer, because the battle is still coming. I will not go beyond this one. But are you feeling something there? So next time you pray and God tells you, I have fixed it, expect an escalation. Expect an escalation. All of a sudden, even everything you thought God said wouldn't even make sense again. And like everything just scatter. The prophecy said, no, come get head or tail again. To now tell me that God said, you will be looking like, say, okay, where are you now? Pastor, I don't know. I don't know. Because I prayed though, and you told me to fast. I fast though. Pastor, what is going on? It happened to Jesus, and I can show you place after place in scripture where there was an escalation after a promise. There was an escalation. I will also come and tell you why, despite God's word, because my time is up, many of God's prophecies or word over your life do not happen. There was a king in the Old Testament that came against the people of God. And they went to the prophet, and the prophet said, we'll not attend to it. They started begging. And the king decided to tell them, okay, go and make trenches. And God says, I will fill it. It will look like blood. And the enemy will think that you have been vanquished, and God will deal with them. And you know, God, the prophet gave them a strategy. If you have ever been exposed to divine strategy to winning any battle, you will never gamble major decisions in your life based on how you feel again. The people went and followed the instruction, and they were winning. Come on. They were winning. For once in their life, they seemed to be winning. But that king was not just a king. He was a king that understood spiritual warfare. He understood strategy. He looked at this battle. Makatu Bayeka. He said, we cannot come this far to lose. And he checked, what is the requirement to turn this battle against Israel? He said, the requirement is your son. My son, he said, which one? He said, your heir. You see, the cost of that sacrifice is what determines the allocation of power that is released. You give God what is convenient, he gives you what is convenient. He said, those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me, I will lightly esteem them. I will not have regard. That man told his son, young man, can you see what's going on? We cannot afford to lose this battle. This is what it will mean for your mother. This is what it will mean for your country. You are supposed to be king, but if there is no kingdom, what will it matter? You are the sacrifice. When he took his son, put him on the altar and killed him, God remembered the sacrifice that he was going to bring concerning his own son in the future, where he would allow his own son die for a nation to be saved. And God said, what? How can an evil king understand my character more than my own people? And God turned against his own people. The prophecy was that they will come back with victory. But God was so infuriated. And the Bible said there was great indignation against Israel. The battle turned. The battle turned. Listen to me. When dealing with strongholds, you cannot remove the issue and the subject of sacrifice. There's a lot of talking. Sacrifices don't talk. That's why it seems there's no power. We are doing too much talk. And it seems that we are powerless. And somebody can sit in the government house and say rubbish. Because we spend our time talking. We want motivational speakers. But there is a point of resistance here. That resistance will only be removed by men who are willing to die. Sacrifice. The earth, the Bible says, the whole earth has gone out of course. And God asked, what is the requirement to restore this world? They say, it's your son. No. He said, my son. Okay, you are going. It was a risk he took. Because the first son, Adam, didn't make it back. The first Adam became a servant of Satan. Every obedience, disobedience to God's word, is worship to Satan. The moment they violated God's law, not to partake of a knowledge that was not perfected in God, they became servants of Satan. And that is the authority Satan is still using to rule the earth today. Adamic authority. So when he sent his son, he sent him as a lamb. And he said to him, they will offend you. Be careful. They will step on your toe. Ignore them. They will try to push your limits so that you can say what you are not supposed to say. Leave them. Keep your eye on the ball. And even when he got to the altar, another opposition rose from there. If you are the son of God, why not free us? I hear say they do miracle. There is a point in the life of a pastor where even his own prayers are not enough for him. Where even he is facing the same challenges and he's praying for you, you are getting answers. He is not getting his own answers. But the pastor is supposed to look like everything is all right. And he stood on that place and was listening to a condemned criminal. Because we find ourselves for the same situation. It can't mean saying that the same thing. People that were not even supposed to be able to talk to you are now looking at your face and make, oh God, you know, do you try to understand what Jesus like? I have all power. I can breathe like this and everybody will die. And I will come down from this cross. But the requirement of heaven is you will stay there and you will die. You will take this shame. My son, you will take the shame. And when he got to a point, God turned his back. He didn't want to see his son die. He didn't want to be tempted to help. God, where's your face? God, where's your face? I can't bear this pain alone. He said the decision of the court of heaven is that you will have to go into the ground like a seed before you can come back up. And there is this boy from nowhere, son of nobody, talking to me. Now, wow. Now, so this life, no balance. See, if you are the son of God. And that was the last attack the enemy brought. The attack of offense. That if Jesus could have taken offense at that spot, that blood that was shed would become contaminated. The moment that blood is contaminated, it will not cleanse anybody again. Did Jesus answer him? Face the other one. You want to be blessed, Abby. Tonight, I will see you in paradise. The guy didn't even have time to say sinner's prayer. One found mercy. One lost it. That guy will get to heaven and not know how he got there. Then he will get to heaven and realize that the person that was on that cross with him was actually a king. And then his true worship will now begin. Don't let anybody cast aspersion on your destiny, on your prophecy, because of a challenge you are going through. It may just be a downhill, yet you are still coming back up. But you must understand the power to stand strong in the place of resistance. Anywhere there's a stronghold, and you know this is what God wants you to do, stand there. Having done all to stand, rise to your feet. Stand therefore. Lift up your voice and begin to magnify the Lord in the Spirit. Begin to magnify the Lord in the Spirit.